Today on Family Tech Weekly, are your tweens on Wishbone? Amazon Prime joins the parental control bandwagon. Apple makes some changes in the App Store that might cost you a few bucks. Hello, welcome to Family Tech Weekly. I am Michael Prince, your host.
And I'm Melinda, your resident mom.
The resident mom host. She is going to be playing the mom's advocate for me. Here's the problem we have when if I sit down to do a tech podcast. I'm going to sit down and I'm going to geek out the whole time and talk about why things are cool and why they're fun, and that's all. So Melinda, my dear wife, is going, the one who won't even read a book on a Kindle, because
You can't feel it. I need the tactile.
Yeah. She's experience. Gonna play my mom advocate and your advocate, moms and dads, to bring some sensibility to our discussion on all things family tech. And so we're gonna dive right in with Wishbone. Let me explain what Wishbone is. Now, all of the things that we're going to discuss in this podcast, this video, are things that you can read about at our family tech blog at safe.becausefamily.org. That is where we collect all the new and latest information that your family needs to know what's going on in the tech world so you can protect your family better, protect your kids, and understand what they're into. So we're gonna just discuss some of the top articles from this week, unpack them a little more, and then maybe even debate the value of some of these things that we talk about. But Wishbone, we'll start there. Wishbone is an app that I spent 2 days playing on, and this is one I don't get excited about and geek out about. But Wishbone is, to put it simply, it's a polling app. And what it is, it pits two things against each other, where you see on your screen an image of Beyonce and Gwen Stefani, and you have to just choose which one. It's really simple. Sometimes it says, you know, who would be your bae, or sometimes it says something like, you know, who makes your jams, or who are you, or whatever. It'll have a picture of a cute little puppy and a picture of a cute little kitten, and it'll say which makes you, with emojis, you know, which makes you, love heart eyeballs, yeah, emoji, that kind of thing. So it'll have that kind of thing, and you vote on it, and you select what you like, and that's all you do. You sit and you just, over and over, and it literally every day it gives you 12 new things, and then every evening it gives you 12 new things, like every morning, every evening, that's supposedly tailored to you based on your previous choices. This is a really popular app with teenagers and with tweens, and therefore, the advertising on it is very popular, or very geared towards that age group. Probably age 10, especially girls, 10 to 15 or 16. So that's kind of what Wishbone is. In the article, I kind of unpack a little bit some of the advertising issues, and some of the advertising I saw was a little concerning. It actually led me to writing another article on there about games that are designed for tweens, a game called Episode, where they just like play basically soap operas, choose your own adventure kind of soap opera games, crazy stuff. Check out that article about Episode. It's at the blog as well. But so let's talk about Wishbone. Did you play with it at all on my phone, or did you see me?
I didn't. I saw you a couple times, and I mean, it's pretty obvious why I wouldn't like
well,
it, because it's complete waste of time,
yeah.
For one. Like, it's not, like, I feel like that's worse than just sitting and scrolling through your Facebook page without really thinking. Like, that's like...
Right, there's nothing...
There's literally nothing. You're not even, like, earning points or anything, I'm assuming.
Yeah, no, like, not really.
There's not even, like, a feeling of award, or
yeah,
it's just literally
you do get when you post, you can post your own things, and you get, it collects the number of votes you get on your stuff, it collects the number of likes you get on the things that you post, and mm-hmm. you can comment on these things as well. And when you comment on them, what's funny is when you go in the comments, most of the comments are basically follow requests. People saying, hey, I'll follow you back if you follow me. Hey, follow
so
me. Hey, follow me.
This is a social media kind of thing.
It is.
So,
it
like,
is.
People
you create an
that
account.
You don't know connect with you.
Correct.
On it.
Yes.
And so that's another aspect that's important for parents to know, that it's not just sitting there choosing one thing over another.
No, it's a photo sharing polling app. Something kind of like After School. I don't know if you're familiar with After School. Mm-hmm. It's one where you can send questions to somebody about whatever. Will you hang out after school? And people say yes or no on the app about you, if they'd hang out with you. You know, would you date me? Yes or no? And that kind of thing. And it's made to help kids kind of do stuff outside of the classroom and make friends. And it's actually got a lot. After school, there's an article on there, of course, about it as well. Basically, when I learn about something like that, I write about it because it's just good info.
Yeah.
But the after school has got some pretty good, they've had some pretty good ideas with how they protect kids on there, so it's interesting. Now, Wishbone, to my knowledge, does not. You do create your own profile. You can sync it with your Google profile or something like that if you have them, or Facebook or anything else. And yeah, and you are whoever you say you are in the app. It's one of those things. And you can have conversations. You can do private polling where you send them a picture and they have to vote on it. That could lead to things that you don't love. You also can obviously just have conversations in the private poll. I'd show you, but I uninstalled the app after I wrote the article because it was
media aspect of it brings up a lot of concerns because of who can connect to your kids and what kinds of photos and stuff they might be able to share.
Of course.
So that's a whole new layer beyond what I even thought, because I thought it was just the stupid
waste of time.
And choosing, like, literally choosing one probably, like, consumer-type thing over another, I'm guessing. So, like, you know, Taco Bell or McDonald's or something like
right,
that.
Right,
yeah. Like,
it is.
Choose,
and most of those
and it's
are...
more, like, advertising.
Well, like, the one I was... constantly. When I was looking at it, Twix was all over it. Because they're actually doing their... You can buy each piece separately now in two packages. The right and the left Twix. And it's just this whole, like... You know, right. Which one are you? Are you team right or team left? And they were using that in Wishbone to vote team right or team left to sell Twix candy bars.
Yeah, this app is getting money through
advertising. Exactly.
On their app.
Plus,
so this is an advertising app.
Right.
Disguised
Plus,
as
imagine being able to get us line up a whole bunch of tweens and just ask them what kind of products they prefer.
Which would you prefer, yeah.
And then sell that information to advertisers. That's exactly what this app does. So that's Wishbone, baby.
Yeah,
that's Wishbone.
But, not on my kids' non-existent phones.
Yeah, if my kids had phones, they would not have Wishbone. Well, our oldest is only 9, and he is not a tween girl.
True.
I think he would not like Wishbone very much.
But Olivia would.
She sure would. She sure. She's only
she
7,
would,
but she would love
She's only 7.
It. And it's
and
funny
like
is...
they would. They would like...
If you don't look at it very long, it looks pretty innocent. But literally, like, it's pictures of... celebrities and celebrity women dressed the way they do sometimes, pop stars and things. And so you just have to look at that stuff. Pay attention to what's on your kids' phones.
And for us, it's like we are so anti-consumerism. We don't let our kids just watch endless hours of TV with commercials and stuff like
right.
that. So why would I want my kids to have it in their pocket right there going constant advertisement in their face, especially disguised as...
Absolutely.
Just a game.
Yeah, and totally. And so, yeah, if it's disguised as something that they're just doing for fun, but really they're constantly being something's being promoted.
And I just, I'm racking my brain trying to figure out even something that's good to say about the thing, but I don't.
It does look like. And actually, when I posted the article on our social media stuff, the most common comment I got from people who follow us on Facebook and on Instagram and on Twitter and all the places. Was they saw links in the profile. They saw that it was just looked like a massive waste of time. And that was the most common response I got. That just looks like a total waste of time.
It's not even like a game where you're like strategizing or something. It's like bloop or bloop. Bloop or bloop.
Yeah. Oops. Now we'll dive into Amazon Prime Video finally giving us parental controls. And I'll just kind of briefly explain that. It's pretty much self-explanatory, but last week, Amazon Prime launched the parental controls that you can set up through your app, and it applies to whatever account you watch all of your Amazon Prime videos.
No matter what device. It's your account.
Yes. And now, it is not like Netflix, which sets up a kids version of Netflix. Mm. Or Hulu, which now has a kids version of Hulu.
There's not like profiles or anything like that.
It uses the rating system to block anything if it were to be selected to view. So, all of your regular stuff is going to show up if you on any device. And so if your kids are looking at Amazon and trying to decide what to watch, they're going to see all the options. But if they click on something or tap on something that is above the restricted age that you've set, it's not going to let it load for them to watch it. Now, the coolest part of it, two cool parts. The first cool part is when you set it up for your account on any device. I set it up on my phone for our Amazon Prime account, and it works on any device you watch it on. If you go watch something that's mature on your iPad, you're going to have to put your thumbprint in, which is the next cool thing, to tell it that you can watch it.
I don't watch mature things.
Yeah, but Downton Abbey.
I watch British
kidding.
Dramas.
You do, you watch PBS Masterpiece Theater.
It's the best.
It's the best. But it's the best, I mean
it's the best.
It's wonderful. But
get my cup of tea.
Exactly. I saw something about a terrorist attack in London, and it was ended up being fake, but somebody had posted that there was a sign hanging in the subway that said, "Terrorists, you can attack us all you want. We're just going to drink tea." I thought that was funny. But anyway, turned out it was fake news. Well, imagine that.
Tea time.
Serious business.
Serious business.
I know. So, Amazon parental controls. It allows you to use your thumbprint to bypass it when you're ready. So, anytime you hit play on a show or anything like that, you can just hold, if you have an iPhone, you hold your thumbprint over the
button.
The button.
The home button,
thank you, and it will bypass your parental controls to allow you to watch that if you'd like. So you can have it set on all your devices and it's not.
So you don't have to remember a number or a code or something.
And
you can't tell your kids.
If you have an Android, you have to remember a number and code and stuff. But if you
you should have the right.
You should have the right phone. But no, if you go in, though, you're not having to go in and turn off parental controls when you're ready to watch something if you share a device with your kids. It allows you to do that. Because, yeah. Now, here's something, I don't know if it would be warnings necessarily, but just something to keep in mind. Parental control on these media services, these streaming media services, they batch all kids' programming together. So anything, and it's based on the age rating. So if you say, I don't want them to see anything that's PG-13 or higher, well, it's going to put stuff like that might still be a little bit violent, and even maybe have some inappropriate language. Not super crass stuff, but just something that maybe you don't, you know, like, I remember we didn't let our kids watch Thomas the Tank Engine, the old version,
because
they say stupid and idiot and shut up and stuff a lot.
Very rude.
And we were just like, they're just rude. And so, obviously, stuff like that, you still have to keep an eye on and keep track of. And
well,
it's
and there's some really strange,
kids
shows and Nickelodeon shows that I've never seen, but I've seen like just the picture of what they are, and I'm like, this looks like a really weird show. Like, well, even just as an example, Home. We love the movie Home, but the kids show on, I guess it's on Netflix, but it's weird. Like,
it's kind
of
gross.
The stuff is like, there's a lot of like potty humor, but then there's just some weird like. I don't even know how to describe it, but like one of the alien guys is like supposed to be a guy, I think, but he's dressing like a girl. But then like it's, I don't know, it's just some weird.
It's just
stuff
different
that doesn't
for your
really
kids.
Make sense,
that, yeah.
But
yeah, and it's
it
not.
It could just be confusing for.
Yeah, it could be confusing, and it's just different. It's weird.
It's weird.
And I think about Ren and Stimpy when it was on Nickelodeon when we were kids, and it was like just this kind of crass, but not over the top. But then when we all kind of got a little older, they put it on Spike TV or Comedy Central, and the creators were able to really do what they wanted to with it, and it was straight up adult content oriented, you know.
You just can't make any assumptions about a show.
Right. So parental controls are good. They're going to keep your kids from seeing, you know, the Game of Thrones, the nudity, and heads getting cut off, stuff like that. They're going to keep them from hearing dirty, dirty, dirty words, all that stuff. It's going to help. But you still have to pay attention. And
well, one concern though with that is that they still can see what's available.
Correct.
And I was just looking through just to find something to watch the other day, and I, you know, because they have like the suggested, movies based on a genre or what you've looked at in the past or something. And I was looking at like the genres and stuff, and I didn't realize what genre it was on. And I was kind of scrolling through going, these all look really terrible.
Yeah.
And it ended up being dark movies. So it was all just like horror or just like really weird, creepy stuff.
Scary, thriller, violent, gore. And like the pictures
were...
Yeah, they don't hide.
They reflected that
right
in the picture.
Sure.
So they're going to, even if they're scrolling through... they're going to see those pictures, even though they can't watch it necessarily, they're going to still see those pictures on the app.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, keep that in mind. And I, you know, the best advice is always if their eyeballs are on it, yours need to check it out every now and then
too. Best thing for me, like parental controls, I don't care as much what's on there. I put guided, I say, this is what you're watching. And I put guided access on and I set it.
If you don't know what
and
that
they're
is,
younger.
If you don't know what that is, it locks the app to where they can only watch what's there.
And they
you
literally
can even,
can't even
You can even turn off the screen touch so it won't even, they can't even pause the video without putting in a password. So
they can't go on to something
and,
else.
And that's available on iOS, Apple products. Android, you can download apps that let you do that as well. And
but I understand as your kids are getting older, you want to give them a little bit more freedom maybe, but that's something to think about and be cautioned about with Amazon Prime because it's not as...
Right. They can't sit and watch it, but if your kids might be a little more sensitive and even just seeing the image at first might give them nightmares or freak them out, then you want to be careful about that. My son,
like
who is our camera director back there, my 9-year-old son is raising his hand saying, that's me, Jason. So
well, and it also, it brings up something maybe they've never seen or heard of, and it could bring up something that makes them curious or... like wonder, and then maybe they look into that more or something. And like, especially with the young kids, you don't want to introduce that stuff earlier than necessary. That's why we have like, you know, stories that are geared toward their age group that maybe brings up something. You know, we've got Beauty and the Beast where they're killing, they want to go kill the beast, so that introduces a negative thing but kind of wrapped around a little bit more
the fairy tale princess,
you know,
story.
Yeah. Chill, but you don't want them to like go straight from Daniel Tiger to gory horror
Dexter
craziness. So
or The Walking Dead or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
or worse. I mean this
or
the,
worse.
The ones that I was seeing, I was like, this is even
that's
far
probably
beyond.
My fault that those are showing up.
Probably.
Because I like
who
some
knows what you watch.
I have some unique tastes and I don't like to watch dirty stuff, but I do like to get scared sometimes and I like psychological thrillers and stuff. But anyway, so I recommend using Amazon Prime. And if you have any questions about that, you can email us, becausefamily@gmail.com. Or leave it in the comments if you're watching on YouTube or Facebook or you're listening on the website or whatever. You can leave a comment, ask us any questions. I check that stuff out all the time. It's my job. So, that's Amazon Prime. Now has parental controls. I recommend use it. And I wanted to clarify, it does work on... like smart TVs and stuff like that because it uses your account.
Mm.
So it's pretty cool.
Well,
obviously, you're not going to do the thumbprint thing on your TV, but
because then you'd have to get up.
Right.
On your remote. They should do that on remotes on smart
thumbprint
TV,
thing? Oh, TV. We'll get there. It'll probably soon have the camera that scans your eye and you won't even have to tell it who you are. It'll know as soon as you sit down. And it'll bring up your favorite shows.
Creepy. No.
Dude, it's going to happen.
No.
You can decide what you want. You can hate all you want. That's going
to
happen.
I don't have to buy one.
You don't have to buy one. We don't have to. I won't get one. But, yeah. All right, let's move on.
I want smart kids and smart family, so I don't need smart objects in my home.
Told you, cynical. let's move on.
Okay.
Apple has made a little bit of changes in how they allow people to advertise their products in the App Store. And it could result in a little bit more money being spent. I don't know if you allow your kids to spend any money in the app stores or in app purchases or things like that. Of course you don't. We just established that already. But I'm talking to them, whoever they might be. But here's the issue. Here's the thing. Jason, yeah. You let your kids do that, buddy?
What?
Do you let your kids spend money in the app store?
No.
Yeah, of course not. I have no children. But we... what they've done is they've taken away the ability, or they're denying new apps access to the App Store if they have any pricing information in their title. So, good example is Where's My Water Free? You know, like that game. They can't put free in the title anymore. Or they can't put discount in the title when they update the thing anymore. Anything like that. Any kind of information like that is going to get them told it's going to get their submission to the App Store rejected. And I'll read actually to you a little section of what Apple sends them if they get rejected. It's quoted in the article that I wrote here, and it says, please remove any references to your app's price from your app's name, including any references to your app being free or discounted. If you would like to advertise changes in your app's price, it would be appropriate to include this information in the app description. Mm-hmm. So they're trying to kind of take that knee-jerk
download
because it's free and then you pay later. They're trying to kind of remove that. So what this might mean is, possibly, some people are saying this could mean that these apps, these developers are going to have to start charging more for their in-app purchases, because basically the volume of installs might go down a little bit because the automatic clicking, well, it's free, download, it's free anyway, that won't happen as often perhaps. So they're saying that they could start charging more for the in-app purchases because the volume of purchases may go down. They're also saying that some of the free apps may end up costing something because they're not getting installed as much because of being free, so you may as well just charge for the app. However, if you scroll down, go into your App Store, Android or Apple, it doesn't matter, look at top grossing apps, and you will find that probably it's not till probably app number 50 to 60 before you see one that costs something to download. All the apps that make the most money make their money.
Free.
They start off free and make their money within the app. And in-app purchase, that's called a freemium app. It's free, and then you get premium access if you pay a little more. And it's not just games. I mean, you can download Office software, PDF software. You can download cameras. You can download social media apps, things. All kinds of stuff that's freemium. And so this is just going to kind of change the game a little bit. And the way it might affect parents is if you tell your kids they can only download something that's free, they may get a little confused now with that in the Apple
just
store.
Isn't there a place where you can go and look for only free apps?
Yes.
So, I mean, because
in the categories, free is a category.
I'm usually doing that.
Yes.
Yeah. Going to the free
right.
apps and looking through them. But here's where I get frustrated is when it is in the free section, but then
you
can
get
only
anything.
Pay, or you're going to have to pay to get past the first or third or whatever portion of the thing. So, I don't know if that would change much for me anyway, as far as getting apps, because we don't buy a lot, but there's still a way to see that a game is free, because it has a big free around the where a cost would be even when you download it. So, doesn't change it, I don't think, as much as what they're even maybe saying it would.
Yeah.
Because
because
it says free.
But because of them putting it in the title, it is a measurable increase in downloads. A very measurable increase in downloads. So they're expecting a measurable decrease.
I'm curious
because
to see if
of
would,
that. That's why they do it, obviously, because it does increase their downloads because it says, Flow game free. And so, it's the free version. Or light. They could put light in there now, which light is often
which that's
free.
Been
that's
that
not
for
a pricing
a long time,
thing.
Though.
Yeah.
That's
so you'll see more of that kind of thing, other ways to describe it, but you may not, you won't be seeing pricing information. And if it's discounted, that won't show up until the description. But so just keep an eye out on that whenever you're downloading stuff. You may see some differences. And So we're going to talk about one more story. And this is more of a, not necessarily as much of a news story as. I wrote an article today, actually just got up from the computer to film this after posting it, about search bar autocomplete results and what they might mean for you if you're kind of trying to find out what your kids have been looking for. Because I get questions about it quite often. I got one last night when I did a workshop. And what she said was I put in a couple letters and some questionable stuff comes up. Recommended search in the Instagram search bar. So does that mean that something inappropriate is being...
That they've already been searching for that?
Yeah,
or...
And I didn't know for sure on Instagram itself if that was the case. And so I did some digging today and I wrote this article. And here's what it comes down to. Social media, Instagram, Pinterest, YouTube. Well, YouTube does, but they kind of highlight for you what's what. But Facebook, these main like image type sharing sites and video sharing sites, they use more than just history to define what they show you in those recommended results, when you're recommended search terms. So if you type in PO, you might get porn as a recommended one. Now that doesn't mean in Instagram and some of those, that doesn't mean that was searched before necessarily. Mm. What it mostly means is it's a common one that is searched. Or they have top results that have been accessed frequently that are in that category, in that search term. Or based on your location. Sometimes it's even that. That's a common search term in your location. So they're trying to use the data they have to feed you what you may already be looking for to make
it
quicker. But
it's not necessarily something that's happened
in your... Yeah, it doesn't absolutely mean that someone else did it.
So don't go throwing accusations out. So exactly.
And that was her question. Was she's like, my son says he's not searching for something. He's not doing anything wrong. Is that okay? Can I believe him and trust him that he's doing that? And so if I go into the search, the first thing I have is suggested in Instagram. It says suggested. And then it has recent listed right under it. And so you can see recent. I have Branson, Missouri, musician, because family, driving is Barbara, my grandma, so much coffee. I look for some hashtag. Churches, and those are the hashtags or people searches.
And you can't delete that.
And you can delete that.
You can delete
that. So your recent searches show up, and I think I've got the top 15 or something. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. The top 14. And then people, if you go to people, it shows recent. If you go to tags, it shows you the suggested and then recent. And places does the same thing. And so... So yeah, you can just type in the search bar. You don't even have to say anything in the search bar. You scroll down and you can start seeing the recent ones automatically.
So they can delete it though. You can.
So you go into your profile and your settings, and if you go into at the very bottom, it says clear search history.
So you know if there's nothing there.
So if there's nothing there,
then you know that they've been on Instagram.
Then you ask them, why were you clearing your search history? Now, it's going to be different on YouTube and Google, because YouTube, well, and Google both, they use purple if it's based on your search history, if the result is, or the recommended search item. And then if it's not, if it's based on other things, it's black. And that's in your browser. On the app, it puts little icons next to the item that appears down there. So obviously, just the magnifying glass is just telling you that it's a recommended search. The clock symbol on the Google app, or the little, it looks like a clock with a little arrow that circles around and then points kind of backwards on YouTube, those mean it's based on your history. And then sometimes you'll just see a little earth, looks like the World Wide Web. That means it's going to take you straight to a link. It's not going to go to a search results page. So that's how you know kind of where the recommended results are coming from on YouTube and Google. So it's a little different than the social media ones. And that one, it identifies it pretty well, and you can tell. You can also go in and find your history just based on internet history and search history. Through your Google and YouTube account as well. So.
And there should be history there.
Yes, there should be history there.
If it's cleared, you gotta have a conversation.
That's right. You gotta have conversations if the history is cleared. So, yeah. Well, that was a question that I got directly last night at a workshop that I wanted to answer on this episode. And if you have questions that you'd like to ask us, please put them in the comments, whether you're on YouTube, if you're on the Facebook video, if you're on... where else will I put this? Everywhere.
Podcasting.
Twitter. You can tweet us. You can talk to me on Instagram about it. Let me know. I'm on all the things. We're on all the things. So ask us your question. We'd love to answer as many questions as we can over the next several episodes. Thank you for joining us on Family Tech Weekly. And we'll see you next week. Thanks, honey.
Yep.
Bye-bye.
Bye.